Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Mind your business with the breakfast huddle, only on Money FM 89.3.
Time now for Mind Your Business, where we put our attention on the travel industry.
Yeah, over this past year, many tours, as we well appreciate, were not happening. That meant there was an impact on tour guides. Now, no secret, the tourism industry is pretty much non-existent at the moment. We heard how the pandemic has crippled the big players in the industry, and we forget about a group of people that is really foundational to the tourism business, and that is tour guides.
Yeah, it's the job, the livelihood, right?
Yeah.
But to be fair, and, you know, to give them credit, they have been really creative. We've seen, you know, tour guides trying to pivot and get used to the idea of virtual tours. I mean, we read one yesterday in the paper where this guy in Iceland was hosting a virtual tour of the Northern Lights. So that's quite interesting that they're able to think of these ideas.
Yeah, or the, you know, one-on-one tours or one-on-few tours, you know, one or two people, depending on what the COVID regulations of the day will allow for. And while the touring a cemetery, for example, is probably not the most thrilling idea for many people, a tourist guide has actually turned it into a sideline, but is this doing enough for the tour guides? Can they survive in the long run with these types of different arrangements, like you said, virtual or small group tours?
I mean, how long can they keep coming up with these ideas, right?
Well, let's find out about the future of tourist guides. On the line with us this morning is Jean Wang, who is Chairman Society of Tourist Guides Singapore. Jean, hola, buenos dias.
Buenos dias, Elliot.
And the reason I did that is because I found out that you're quite fluent in Spanish.
Yes, I've been guiding in Spanish for over 30 years.
Wow.
Fantastic.
Wow.
Yes. Wow. Bueno. Right.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about the Singapore Tourist Guide Association. It was formed in 2003, but wait a minute, wasn't that the year that there was SARS here in Singapore? Tell us more about it.
Yeah. So in 2003, we were left twiddling our thumbs. Actually, we were terrified to go out because of the danger of getting SARS. Mm. And at that time, some of us turned to doing training courses, and some of us became trainers for other guides. But we had no tourists for solid 8 months. And the subsequent 2 years after that, we never recovered to pre-SARS level. But anyway, during the SARS, we realized that we were on our own. And if we continued that way, if the next big thing came along, big crisis came along, we may not be prepared. Mm. So a group of us decided to come together and said, let's come together, and then we can collectively go to government agencies and other stakeholders, and we can work together to help ourselves. So that's how we started.
Yeah, it sounds like a really great effort. Glenn here, Jean. And becoming a tour guide in Singapore, there is a process that one has to go through. Not just anybody can say they're a tour guide and be a licensed one. What does the process look like to become a tour guide here?
Well, you first of all have to be willing to go through a course which is approved by the WSQ course, the Workforce Skills Qualifications course, 246 hours.
Wow.
You need to set aside at least 6 months of your life.
Holy cow.
Yeah. And of course, the training will be preparing you in different scenarios. There'll be the learning component. You need to gather your facts about Singapore and other knowledges that are necessary. And then you have practice sessions so that you practice at what you're going to do when you get your license.
Right.
And the license will be issued by the Singapore Tourism Board. It's called a tourist guide license. Yeah.
Oh. Actually, I'm curious, Jean. I mean, with regard to tourist guides here in Singapore, is it a mostly full-time job? Or, I mean, with regard to the Singapore Tourist Guide Association and your members, and what kind of strength are we talking about here? Are they mostly full-time or part-time?
Yeah. Many tourist guides are part-timers, which means that some of them, they may hold on to their permanent full-time jobs and they guide during the weekend. Mm-hmm. But there's a large group of us who are freelance. Even though we say we are part-time, we are reliant on jobs for our livelihood.
Okay. Yeah. And if we look at this past year, we know it's been a disaster for so many people. What has happened to the tour guides? What have they been doing? Is there anything else that they can do during this time when our tourists just are not arriving in Singapore like they used to?
Okay. So there are two ways to look at it. One is from the society standpoint. that we remember why we started the Society for Tourist Guides, and we want to uphold and maintain ethical and professional standard of conduct for tourist guides. So it's a good time, you know, for some people who, if they don't have to, you know, do Grab and other things to fill up the time and feed the family, then we could do the time to upgrade ourselves, you know, in terms of knowledge. And so many of our guides have been taking courses in various areas, some of them taking courses maybe to do with when convention meetings come, they know how to organize convention and other. What we have small courses called the professional development courses for various topics. It could be preparing them for future tours or even to use the additional knowledge right now to do tours for locals. So we have different subjects,
Yeah, that's. I think that's a great offshoot of this, right?
Yeah.
Touring the hometown crowd.
Yeah, discover your own backyard, right? Yeah.
And that's right, yes.
Discover a lot about where you used to live as well.
Along with the vouchers that were given, that makes sense, right?
Yeah. So we have to go off the tourist circuit, you know, that means, because in the past we didn't really have to, once we got into our routine, we just did, you know, our regular three-day jobs, you know, just regular tourist places, for example, visiting the Marina Bay, Merlion Park, you know, and going to Sentosa or the zoo. But now we have the opportunity to use more knowledge about, deeper knowledge about our cultural, culture and heritage.
I like that you sort of bring up things like culture, because when it comes to going on tours, it is somewhat an international culture that when you're overseas, you do a tour, at the end of the tour, you give the tourist guide a tip. Yet locally, it's not really a culture of ours, because we've got things like
tipping culture,
service tax. So I really want to understand, Jane, how does a tourist guide earn money? I mean, is there like a base pay or is there an hourly pay? And obviously, there's a dependence on tips as well. Could you share more with us?
Okay, so for the tourist guide, we have a fee that's agreed upon between us and the tour operator, if you're working for a tour operator. So there's an agreed fee, and then the tour operator will charge per person or whatever, and then we will get our pay after the job, right? But for, there seems to be a trend for even overseas for people to join so-called free tours. You know, so overseas, there are free tours. But in the end, it really comes out to something like a tip-based tour, because you are invited, you know, to join the tour, and the reason why we joined the tour, we've got bills to pay. At the end, you know, then some guides would come up front to say that the recommended tip is so much, so much. But in Singapore, really difficult to say, you know, you should tip me at least so much. I think not all guides are ready to go that way and say that I may not get the full fee. And then there'll be the question of whether you're working for yourself and you market the tour for yourself, and then you keep everything yourself, or you have to share with the company that actually organized the tour for you. So we really have to think of different questions now with COVID-19. You know, we put aside a bit of our pride to say, hey, I'm not going to get my professional guide fee. And really depends on my charm and the quality of my tour.
We're talking with Jean Wang, chairman of the Society of Tourist Guides here in Singapore. And Jean, you did just mention COVID again. We've talked about it a couple of times already in the course of this interview.
Right.
Give us an example of somebody who you feel, and you don't necessarily have to give a name, but somebody who's really been innovative during this time. What have they specifically done to bring a culture alive or a tour alive to people during this time of COVID, whether it was in person or whether it was virtual?
We have, I mean, we have many guides already who have pivoted, sort of like they are able to use new technology, like go on Zoom and present the culture, the history via Zoom to either students or to other interested groups. And some of them have successfully done it, conducting tours online via Zoom or using live streaming techniques, and then from on-site talking to the audience who are online. So we have, some have done that, yes.
Jean, does the SGTS get involved in this? I mean, do you guys help your members to pivot? Maybe some neat ideas or something like that?
Yeah, the society has always been here to encourage guides to do that, right? So the thing is, some of the guides, they are more independent than others, and they have gone ahead even without babysitting, right? But as a society, we have been encouraging them in other ways. For example, but like I said, we have been giving them material for tours by organizing the courses. And we are in the process of, in fact, tomorrow I'm going to do a virtual tour around the Heritage District in town. So we are, so for those who have been waiting and to see, show me that you can do it, then we'll do it too. So we are doing it, but it's difficult because we have the society and then we have people who have immediately, I want to see the money coming in. It's difficult. Yeah, that way.
Jane, we just saw the National Heritage Board announce this new tour up in Sumbawang just this week, and it looks like a real interesting tour as well, historically speaking, getting people to a different part of the island. How long do you think this is going to take for the tourism sector to come back in Singapore? I know we're so far off from where we've ever been before COVID hit, but what are your predictions, and how do you think we'll lose tour guides in the process who just have to move on to another job that, you know, that pays the bills?
I think we can't stop people having to think about alternative ways of earning money for their families. So indeed, some of the guides have been doing the safe distancing ambassador jobs because they see as currently they will do that. But in the back of their minds, as long as they are retaining the tourist guide license and going for courses, which means they are hopeful to come back to full-time guiding. We're not sure in the near future or not, considering the events that have happened over the past few months, but I think most of us are hopeful, and at the same time, we feel that this is why we became a guide, because we wanted to show people how much we love Singapore and enjoy Singapore. And there's so many layers to enjoy Singapore, whether it's on appreciating our past or what we have to offer in terms of how we make Singapore such a beautiful place to be in. And how did that come about? It didn't come about by accident, you know? Yeah.
Jean, super quick one, very fast one. What makes you more nervous, guiding a bunch of strangers or doing a guide virtually where you're in front of a camera?
I think I've been doing some tours on over the past few months on site with real people, and of course we missed that, and that was really enjoyable. But we had to have a process of rehearsing on site and all that. And so technology-wise, online, the fear, you know, that the Wi-Fi is gone and the people have gone offline. And then they see that, we are struggling with our technology. So it's a bit embarrassing.
Oh, dear.
I think we have to go through those embarrassing moments at some point. But we hope minimize when it's a real sort of an online situation. It could be during our practice sessions. But yeah, that's nerve-wracking for some of us.
We've been speaking with Jane Wang, Chairman, Society of Tourist Guides at Singapore. Jane, really appreciate your time this morning. Take care, stay safe, yeah?
Yeah, right. Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.